The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucify him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some of the women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, one who is and was and is still to come. Amen. Following the resurrection of Jesus, which we celebrated April 5th, Jesus appeared to his followers over a 40-day period, thus the lighting of the Paschal candle over these 40 days until Ascension Day. These appearances started in Jerusalem on Sunday morning with Mary Magdalene and the other women. The continued appearances to the disciples that we're hearing about last Sunday and this Sunday. At one point, Jesus appeared to 500 of his followers all at one time, as Paul records for us in 1 Corinthians 15. To date, we focused on the locked upper room where Jesus miraculously appeared in their midst. Note, last week it was locked and he appeared there. The resurrected Jesus evidently didn't have to go by the same rules as us. He appeared in the midst of them. He did it once without Thomas present and then again with Thomas present. Last week's gospel taught us something important. It taught us that faith is often about seeing with your ears. I know that sounds strange, but stay with me. And I know we like to pick on old doubting Thomas because he had to put his fingers in the wounds in order to believe. But really, the doubt was all about at that time. The disciples as a whole were struggling to embrace the reality of Jesus' resurrection. In fact, Luke 24 recorded this. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they would not believe. And so maybe instead of just doubting Thomas being a part of our vernacular, at least in this case, doubting disciples. They were struggling with this. And we wonder what got in the way of them taking in the news with their ears and being exuberant and gleeful about this news that Jesus had risen from the dead. Was it that the message came from women, and in that time and in that culture, they were thought to not be a reliable source? Could it be that seeing someone die a terrible death on Friday and then news of them in the ears that he was alive again on Sunday morning, that was just too beyond the pale of their experience? Could it be that the evil one had sowed doubt in their hearts? I would say yes to all of these. The cure for doubt, though, it wasn't found out somewhere on a mountaintop. It was found in Jesus himself. Jesus himself came to Thomas and said, "Hey, Thomas, put your fingers here. Feel my wounds. Put your fingers here in my side. Stop doubting and believe." See, the cure for doubt, it transcends the first century moment of post-resurrection appearances of Jesus in the upper room, and it even extends to us through the word that's been passed on generation to generation through the scriptures. God provides for doubting followers like us. He does recognize that by and large, we're kind of a tactile bunch, aren't we? We like to touch things and see things and smell things. And in response to us and our needs, the Lord has provided. He's provided the waters of baptism. As I look over at the baptismal font, it's good to remember those baptismal waters. Water that you can feel and touch. He's provided for us the Lord's Supper, bread and wine that we'll be placing upon our lips that we can taste. All these are our Lord's way of reaching out to us, 21st century disciples, and saying, "Here, be mindful of your baptism. Be mindful of my presence in the supper. Here, put your fingers here. Put your fingers here. Stop doubting and believe." God invites us to lean into him, to hang on to his words in faith as we trust the things that he says to us. Doubt is driven away, and those wonderful words that were said to Thomas ring in our ears even many years later. "Blessed are those who believe without seeing. Blessed are those who see with their ears, who respond in faith to the gospel message." Today's gospel reading, it's a wonderful account, isn't it, of two disciples, kind of nondescript. We don't know much about them. They weren't one of the apostles, but two disciples were walking along the road. We might call them the Emmaus walkers. And as they interact with Jesus, God keeps them from recognizing Jesus. And they said this. They said to Jesus, without knowing it was Jesus, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things happened. "Moreover, some of the women in our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, They came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. And he said to them, and here's the important words of conviction, "Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." You see, they were struggling to see with their ears. And I think there's a theme that ties the gospel text of last weekend to this gospel text, and that is the cure to not seeing the Lord with our ears is found in failing forward, in recognizing our weakness and falling forward into Jesus. Have you heard that term before, failing forward? It's actually a business term, and some businesses will use this term to talk about learning from their mistakes. Maybe they have a product that's not selling well, so they listen to their customers and they make changes and they fail forward with progress. I think the doubters in the upper room, you could say, failed forward. It wasn't by their own wisdom or wit. No, they failed forward, or they fell forward into Jesus, not away from Jesus. They kept failing into him as they put their hands in his wounds. They kept failing into him as they realized that he was the Savior, and they talked about him and all that he had done. They kept failing into him as they continued to receive those post-resurrection appearances as recorded by Scripture. And as they looked forward to, even though they didn't know it at that time, to the coming of the Holy Spirit. Those Emmaus walkers, they failed forward into this stranger, and they invited him to stay. They failed forward as their hearts burned within them as he taught them the Scriptures. They failed forward into him as they had to tell that they had met the resurrected Jesus. They were distinct from another who did not fail forward. Remember Judas? Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus. He, unlike these followers, fell away from Jesus, fell away in doubt and despair. Jesus invites us to fall into him for peace and hope and restoration. And if we're honest, we 21st century followers, we have these same issues that those original first century followers had. We struggle too with doubt. We struggle with feelings of despair. We have the same struggles as those who have gone before us. And the cure is the same. It is to recognize our failure and to lean into Jesus. The cure is the same as we approach the Lord's Supper confessing our sins. Confession is a recognition of failure. I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by action and inaction. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. And as we lean into Jesus, he says, oftentimes through the pastor, "You are forgiven." Upon this confession, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce God's grace unto you. You are forgiven. So we're encouraged, 21st century disciples, to acknowledge our failures, our failure to see with our ears, acknowledge our failures in following him in his footsteps, to lay those before the foot of the cross, and to lean in to his grace and mercy. For by the Spirit, we lean in faith, and over again, he forgives us through Christ's work, through the one who lived and died and indeed rose for us. And to this, all of God's people say, Amen.